Chapter 7. Second cloud reach. Still cold for the season, but not as cold as last year. It's been a while, Journal. Longer than I would have liked. I don't even know where to start. So much has happened since the last entry, and I don't... From the beginning, I suppose. Sebastian found the people that orchestrated the coup against his family, and, by proxy, the whole damned royal house of Starkhaven. I shouldn't be surprised by now that every noble house in Kirkwall is built over an ancient crypt, but so it went, and so I was. And by the time we finally dealt with the demon that had been feeding off the whole family, I'd learned more about the Harriman's innermost desires than I'd ever wanted. I need to talk to Sebastian about it, but he keeps saying Andraste has given him peace over the deaths, and I haven't yet found the most tactful way to call him out on his right and utter bullshit. Not that I'm known for my tact anyway, but I'm also still feeling very tender in my own grief. I'm not quite ready to take on someone else's on top of it. Am I even lying to myself now? I'm so selfish. Not near to lend him if it'll make me take a single step out of myself, and I'm still blaming him for the suffering. Get a grip. Talk to Sebastian before next weekend, and that's all there is to it. Third cloud reach, because Toby came begging for a walk yesterday, and who was I to tell the most adorable Mabarian Thetis that I had more interest in a quill than in a leash? Anyway, that's been our primary topic of discussion around our stained, sticky, cracked, beloved tables lately. Isabella, in particular, has not been able to quit giggling about the feather thing, despite Sebastian's rolling eyes. I wouldn't mind forgetting it, though I will say I had no idea Fenris's eyebrow could climb quite so high. As for the rest, it's not that I have anything against the Canary, but make or take me if they're not letting this city tear itself apart. Last I wrote, they'd let a false chemical formula slip out with a thief, then made peaceful overtures to the Viscount that ended in the entire delegation being slaughtered at the stake by a fanatic. Funny, most of my memories of Lothering have hardly any high-stakes political disaster in them at all. The city's not doing well with it. They've cordoned off areas of the docks around the Canary compound. Not with rope or fence or anything so obvious, but with a much more dangerous silent agreement throughout the whole hex. No one goes by the compound gates now except the guardsmen and me, and the eyes that always watch me make no secret of their hatred. It's simmering, Kirkwall. And as long as the Canary stay in that compound, even if they don't ask for a damned thing, that low, deep heat's only going to get worse. That said, I went to the Chantry after Varnell's slaughter to light candles for the Canary bodies. The Aroshock may not have been overly fussed, but I was, and no matter the cause, an innocent dead ought to have someone there for their passing, even if there's no one to mourn them properly. Even so, if the sisters had known who I was lighting them for, I suspect they'd have been just as delighted as the Aroshock, so perhaps it's better they went quietly after all. Dumar's written asking me to come consult in a matter of some urgency. And secrecy, I think, given he's told me to bring no one with, though by now he knows I'll probably tell them anyway. Fenris keeps smoothing over my gaffes with the Aroshock and dealing with my own side of the mess. If he needs to do it for me with the Viscount, too, I'm sure he'd be overjoyed to help. Well, tolerant enough to cooperate, maybe. Maybe not. Sixth cloud reach. Muggy, warmer, not even the slightest breeze, which is terribly inconsiderate. The guards always let me pass now without a single word. Only nods. It surprises me every time. What business in the world could a Ferelden farm girl have hobnobbing with the city's Viscount, I ask you? Aside from being a very talented, and conveniently conscience-leashed, murderer, I suppose. I don't want to think of this, but I don't have much of a choice. Dumar's son has gone missing. I know Seamus well enough. He's been in Mother's circle for ages, and I've danced with him at least twice in some of the otherwise forgettable parties. He's a bit younger than me, but means well enough for his foolish, childish naivete. Perhaps that makes me jaded. All I know is he's got a father who loves him and wants him safe and sound, and he's thrown it all away like so much worthless refuse, and I can't help but hate him a little for it. Dumar thinks he's defected to the Coon. If I have to go to the docks one more time to put my fat foot in my fat mouth in front of the Aeroshock, I'll eat my least favorite feathered hat. Later. I forgot to mention it this morning, and I feel like it ought to be written somewhere before time and memory take it back. Completely unrelated to everything else, I remembered something this morning. I know it was from before Lothering, because I was hiding under the kitchen table with the oak spindles, and we didn't take that with us in the move. I remembered Papa's legs as he sat down, and Mother's voice from where she was standing at the wall. They talked for a while about something I don't recall, and then he sighed and said, "There's too much grief in the world already, Leandra. I won't hold on to mine if I can help it." I don't remember what they were talking about. I don't even know why it came into my head so suddenly this morning, save for the fact I got up twice to make Mother's tea before I realized I didn't need to. I told Aveline about it, and she said it was wise advice in her opinion. She's lost both parents and her husband, too. I keep forgetting she knows about this grief. "It passes," she says. "It passes. It passes. It passes. It must." Seventh Cloud Reach. Seamus is dead. So is Patrice. I have never in my life been quick enough to stop someone from dying. I don't know why I thought this would be any different. Tenth Cloud Reach. Cold today. Sharp breeze off the sea. Heavy salt. She killed him in the chantry. I think that's the part hardest for me to believe. She lied to him and killed him in the chantry and knelt him before the altar, like he was praying, and believed in the darkest places of her heart that this would serve the Maker. She posed him, killed him in close quarters in cold blood, and put him where he would hurt the most. She knew he believed in the Coon and made him kneel before the Maker's altar, and I just... Which is more profane in the eyes of the Maker, I wonder? The murder at Andraste's feet, or the mockery she made of the worship after? Poor Seamus. Poor fool. I wish I hadn't said those things about him. Even if I was bitter. No one should die like that. Alone and suffering. I hadn't thought of my mother until this moment. I wish I still hadn't. Helfina turned on Patrice. Came at the end, after the blood spilled and spilled and spilled, and she saw dead Seamus and the dozen dead blessed faithful that Patrice had persuaded to fight for her. I killed them all. Varric and Fenris and Anders helped, but it was my decision to kill them before Andraste. I could have wounded some, taken them out of the fight, but Seamus was dead and it hurt, and I wanted them to hurt for him. How will I ever look Sebastian in the face again? Elthena turned on her, and a canary Sten in the shadows of the stairs put an arrow through her heart, and another between her eyes. No one flinched. Not even Elthena. And there was such vicious joy in me when she fell, I had to look away. I was there when Dumar came for his son. Fenris waited for me outside, but Seamus was innocent and I couldn't let him pass alone, not when I failed to save him. I mourned for Seamus. I grieved for Dumar more. How much more can he take before he's worn to the bare weft? His lines have deepened more in 3 months than they have in the last 3 years combined. They call it a sanctuary. He held his dead son at the Maker's altar, and his blood was on the silver censer. Sometimes I wonder if the Aeroshock is right. There's nothing of faith in such a place. Fifteenth Cloud Reach. Warm again. Foundry smoke beginning to float through Hightown again. Oddly comforting. They held Seamus's pyre this morning. By now I can recite the service start to finish for the attending sister if she ever wants to take a day off, though the transfiguration passages are infinitely more comforting than the benedictions they always insist on using. Damar looks so old. He's never been a young man, but I swear he's aged 30 years since I saw him last. His city's going to kill him. The crowd was quiet, but there was such anger in it. Fenris thinks the guard will hold, but he and Aveline both looked uneasy at the thought today at WG. 17th cloud reach. Winds off the sea all day. Meryl's clan turned on her. Had one kill himself on a Varteril rather than speak to her face to face. She's got her little tool now, though. But at what cost? The people she's trying to save can barely look at her. I'd wonder if Meredith ever feels like this. Except I don't know she's trying to save anyone. 21st cloud reach. It's only 9 in the morning and I'm already behind. Everything's happening at once, and I'm not broad enough to cover it all. Isabella's found her relic after who knows how many years. Castillan's going to kill her for it. I think? Might just be steal it from her? Wasn't perfectly clear given how damned loud she and Av were going at each other. Aveline's got a pair of elves defecting to the Kun for protection after a murder, and somehow both of them are expecting me to fix it all at once. Flames and pyre. I'm not paid enough for this. Because I'm not paid at all. Get it? Ha 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 ha. We're to go to Lowtown tonight to meet Isabella's contact for this whatever. Aveline's not happy about the wait, but of the two, Isabella's seems the more likely to end in personal injury, so I promised her I'd help her first. Something feels so wrong about all this. On the one hand, the city rising to a royal around me has been so distracting I haven't thought of my mother in almost 4 days. On the other, it's also been so distracting that when Fenris helped me up after a minor skirmish in Darktown, it took me a full minute of pointed glances from Varric to realize he hadn't let go of my hand again after. He dropped it the moment we both realized, and looked off to where Meryl was searching with the bodies. But the warmth lingered, after, and I kept flexing my fingers to try to keep it. Damn him. Damn me. Aveline's just sent me a note via a very short, angry runner. Not even a hello. Rude. We're to go straight from Isabella's thing this evening to meet Aveline at the Canary compound for the Aeroshock. Guess I ought to see if Fenris's plans, seeing as my night's now been fully booked by everyone else. It'll be fine. It'll be fine, and we'll all be fine. Why have I got such nerves over this? The next page is blank, followed by several pages written in many different hands. They include a page in short, square lettering that describes a climactic duel in a throne room wherein a city is successfully defended by its champion, though the prose is somewhat lurid. A page in a looping hand that means to wish well, but is often distracted mid-sentence by anecdotes of other friends. And one corner with a few crude anatomical drawings, an apology, and the phrase, "Don't look for me for a bit." There is also a folded letter of some length tucked between the pages that refers to several chant passages regarding swift healing. A short, direct missive in a strong hand expressing personal gratitude, and that her partner will send food as soon as the reader is strong enough to eat. And a few lines in a tall, narrow hand with instructions on deep wound care and the changing of bandages, as well as a schedule of several medicines. The last is a familiar hand with tense, unpracticed lettering that reads, "This will never be enough to defeat you. Wake soon."